KFYO, good morning. It's 7:08. Tom Laura, Lubbock's First News. Welcome to the program. Representative, Texas Representative District 83, Charles Perry. How are you this morning?
Good morning. It's good to be here, guys.
You clean up pretty good at 6 a.m.
Well, you know, I'm usually up and had 3 or 4 hours by now at the office, so this is normal to me. Fighting a little cold this morning, though. Rain, and then the rain, too. You know, you just want to sleep.
I know, right?
Yes. Now, get it. Okay. All right. Big ballyhoo about, 83 and, 28. And now, technically speaking, you have said that you are intending on running for Senate District 28, yes?
Yes, sir.
Have you actually filed your paperwork? I know August 1 is the deadline.
No, it'll happen tomorrow probably. I don't have to be there in person, and we were just waiting for a convenient time, if nothing else, to be there in Austin, put it together. So that'll happen probably tomorrow.
Okay, now on the other side of the coin, you know, any anticipation that you will file and do what you said you would do, which everybody believes you will, there's a quite a bit of excitement and a stir for the seat in District 83. Now, I know it was a big surprise when the governor came out and said, this is going to be the day of this special election, September 9. Okay. So then that put the committee of seven, who are the county chairs, or the, actually, I should say, the county people who are elected by the precinct chairs, to cast their votes. So when the governor made that announcement last week, then they canceled the candidate forum. And so everybody's kind of in a, what are you going to, okay, you're going to
file. You might just come out and ask him, are you going to remove your name from that list of candidates? Isn't that what you're getting at?
He's getting there. You know, everybody wants to know.
You just had to milk the cow early, didn't you?
Well, you know, I don't know how much time you had, but you were getting there. Everybody needs to know and wants to know. And I have said all along, and for whatever reason, there's some political pundits that think they know how I think. If they did, they ought to talk to my wife. She'd be a lot happier sometimes just knowing what I'm thinking. But I have truly got camps on all on this issue for legitimate reasons and legitimate concerns. People that support me, people that are throwing rocks at me. I will make a decision on that soon, and I will make it to where we guarantee with unequivocal 100% there will be a position filled in that House at District 83 on January 15th. At the most efficient and effective way that can be handled. So I would say you'll know that answer pretty quickly. I think it's things, you know, people think that when these events occur that I have this magic legal book on my desk that you just open it up and you start reading through it and all of it's clear. I can tell you there's been good people on all courts feeding information to me that says if you do this or do that, and every one of them has a chain of events that could happen to where we could end up without a House of Representatives on January 15th. And if the Senate District 28 took a runoff, then you really get kind of dicey. What if you start January without either or both? So there's a lot of things to consider as you go through this, but I will make that decision soon, and I will make it to where we guarantee House and Senate seats will be ready to go to work on January 15th. And hopefully, Senate District 28's race will not go into a runoff and we can get that guy sworn in ahead of the other freshman senators, which is huge, and get those guys plugged into some hiring their staff, getting their people going, getting ready to rock and roll, because all the work gets done, most of the work gets done in the last quarter before the session starts, because then it becomes reality. You got to go to work in January. And a lot of things get done down there that you need to be a party to if you're going to represent this district effectively.
A couple of issues that are concerns that Laura and I have talked about, and I know it's on the mind of a lot of other people. When you say you want to make sure that, you know, we have people in there to represent us at the appropriate time, okay, if we have our 83 seat in the House and a 28 seat in the Senate, and there's transition there, it's a very, very vulnerable time for our area, because you want to make sure that people are embedded in the environment of the legislature so they can not just talk about things, but legitimately make a difference and know how to manipulate the system in our favor.
Right. The work
Correct.
Work for the district. Let me put it this way, and there's some confusion here. I am the sitting rep until January of 2015.
No, I get that.
That seat is still my seat.
You're still working.
Unless I am elected in the Senate seat, then I can't hold two seats. Mm-hmm. So under no circumstances would House District 83 not have a representative until I have to vacate that House because I've won Senate or I were just to vacate. So January 15, whoever the November ballot selection process picks, or however, if I'm resigning from that ballot and those people are on, there will be an opportunity for that, hopefully a month and a half there. And then how much you get plugged in is really up to that individual. I mean, I hit the ground running, but I will transition. I will transition that individual into every contact, every person, and anybody that I can hook them up with to begin that indoctrination, if you will, for lack of a better term, to hit that ground running. It's an 80-20 rule down there. You got 80% following 20. You just hope the 20 is doing the good things to follow. And if you're engaged and hit that floor running, pick up that budget, learn that appropriations process, go ready, and then you start having committee selections come up, and you can be somewhat of a asset to people and let them know you came to work. That's usually recognized. There is not a surplus of great ideas and hardworking people in that environment for the most part. So that's where my commitment to who picks the 83 spot or gets picked in that spot is I'm going to make sure that transitions what's good for the district.
Right. We're talking with Charles Perry, representative of District 83, state of Texas, and hopeful for Senate seat 28. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Still got a little rain around the South Plains area. Tom and Laura, Lubbock's First News on Tuesday. Representative Charles Perry, District 83, is in the studio. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir.
All right. The formal announcement will come today at the hour of
11:30 to 1. Burgers will be served between 11:30 and as long as it takes to get them out. I'll planning on trying to speak by 12:15. Start that process of speaking.
And where is this happening?
50-yard line. 11:30. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of become a fun deal. It's kind of an expectation of my constituents, and they ask, and I wasn't sure if I'd do it or not. And you know, it's going to be crowded, but the food's good. It's good to see old friends. You know, you don't see them right all the time, and you get a bunch of people in there. All of a sudden, I know you, and you know, so it's become a real fun part of my campaign process. But 11:30 to 1. Burgers start serving at 11:30. I think that Carpet Tech will start cooking about 10. So Chet makes a good burger. He can clean a great carpet, but he can cook a good burger. And then I'll start speaking at 12:15. The idea is getting you guys out of there by 10 to 1 so you can get back to your office is the goal.
Okay. So that's a free event. And 50-Yard Line Restaurant, if you're under a rock, it's just east of University on South Loop 289 on the outside.
Yeah, just like right behind Target.
Yeah.
Yep. On the South
matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been a good venue for me. It's kind of where I started back in 2010, along with Brad Bentley, was the manager there at the time, and we kicked off a little activist group, if you will, people that were concerned about kind of where we were going as a country, and had about 100 people meeting on Monday nights there for all summer, even during the summer months, and it kind of evolved into this. So, you know, be careful what you pray for. The good Lord may answer it in certain ways. And I did not see this coming, but it's been a good place to kick it off and a lot of fun to do it there.
Good. Hey, I had a question relative to the people that are vying for 83. Now, let's just kind of rehash what the possible scenarios are. If you remove your name from the ballot, that would mean the 7 counties that are affected by 83, their precinct chairs would elect someone to vote for your replacement.
Technically, the county chairs, the Republican county chairs in those 7 counties will pick that individual from the slate of candidates that want to be there. With the exception of this, Carl Tepper is the Republican county chair for district for this city. The problem is he lives in District 84, so he cannot be the elected delegate, if you will, to go pick that slate. He's not in 83. So first thing has to happen is the Lubbock Republican Party precinct chairs have to elect the delegate to go and represent. So that's just a technicality. But Carl Tepper is the Republican chair, but because he doesn't live in the District 83, he can't represent District 83's representative.
And there was another chair that did not file paperwork on time.
There's
Borden
two
guys.
Borden and two? And I didn't know this as of yesterday, but I think there may be two. They did not actually file a county chair seat, so that is currently having its election process and going through the Secretary of State filings and getting those papers in order so that there'll be a full slate of Republican county chairs to pick that. It's Republican because the Democrats didn't put a name on the ballot.
Right.
So just so that people don't think that we've got this thing cornered, it's just they didn't run someone in the Democratic slot, so therefore they were not eligible for that. So scenario is those folks will pick it off if I'm off within the allotted time. I have to be off on the ballot by, I believe it's August 22nd. I have to have removed myself in order to get those slate named, identified, and put on.
By what date?
I believe it's August 22nd.
So filing deadline for running for 28, District 28
August
Senate
1st.
Is August 1, but you don't have to technically withdraw from
the ballot until
83.
The 22nd.
Okay.
Giving them, it's like a 72 or 74 day, it's a strange date, from November's ballot date back in order to give time for elections to get their stuff done. And, you know, these guys in these county chair spots need to hear these people. And I know that individually they've all met, but there needs to be. I was supportive of that forum.
Have you given yourself a deadline to make that decision?
I have.
What's that deadline?
I knew you'd ask that. Everybody wants to know that deadline. I have got that deadline in mind. And it truly has evolved. And even up until this weekend, I was still seeking wisdom. I try not to make decisions that affect people more than me without trying to pull in wisdom and discernment and ramifications. There's always consequences, and not political. I truly want to know what is best for this region. I don't do well in political stuff, and that's usually why I get in trouble on microphones and things. But I truly have been trying to figure out what the least damage in the way. This is not cut and dry. You know, whoever or however you look at this, you've got two very polarizing positions that you didn't let the people have a vote, or you did let the people have a vote. You cost the people for the vote. You didn't. So you just get in all these dynamics, but my heart is leaning, and I'm pretty much there. I kind of have a feeling for what guarantees that we get our representation up and going the most effective way, and that will probably be sooner than later.
Okay.
Sooner than later.
Yes,
that's all
sir.
You're going to give me.
I'm going to give you that.
Okay. So you can kind of make an inference from that, but it ain't over till it's over. I'm not going to say till the fat lady sings, but it ain't over till the fat lady sings. All right, Charles, real quick, we got a couple of minutes left.
You're not calling me a fat lady,
no.
Are you? Okay.
relative to the border situation and the way that it budgets, you know, the way it affects the budget in the state of Texas, what are we really looking at?
Here's what we're talking about: $12 million per month to basically effectively treat the 1,000 National Guards. That's what the National Guard component of this process is going to cost us, $12 million a month, and it's going to cost us $1.3 million a month to currently support the DPS and the Texas Rangers and the Texas public officers, if you will. At the end of the day, I think we'll walk into about a $500 million tag over the next biennium.
Now, isn't the Health and Human Services budget for the state of Texas, don't you have a concern about that?
I have a huge concern. $74 billion is what we spend in our health and human services, and that's really a misnomer because so many other of these safety net programs kind of bleed through other areas. Ag, for instance, has some of them. That is growing exponentially above everything in our line item budget. So if we don't turn that curve or bend that curve, we're going to end up with a welfare state. That's the symptom of what's going on the border, is the fact that we have a welfare state. Thank you.
Hey, Charles, thanks for being with us. Join Charles between 11:30. Is it 11:30?
Yes, sir.
11:30 and 1:30?
Yes, sir. 11:31. I'll get them back to work.
50-Yard Line Restaurant today. Grab a free burger and celebrate Charles' announcement.